Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful portion of Scripture and all the Bible that we'll look at today. I pray that we would glean something, Lord, that would help us. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful relationship. What a blessing it is. And as we put the spotlight on it tonight, Lord, I pray that we would learn to cherish this sweet relationship that's offered by you towards us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to teach on this subject tonight, the blessing of the Father's care. The blessing of the Father's care. I was going to teach this in October and then November and December, and it seemed like the song is true. When you begin to count your blessings, it'll surprise you what the Lord has done. And so I don't know how much longer we'll go. I had 12 specifically I'd like to cover, and maybe we'll go to the end of this month, and maybe we'll go on beyond. But the blessing of the Father's care. I remember when we were going through the study, when we had the theme, the year of prayer, we began to teach this, that I think I got in the spirit one night when we were going to teach on the Lord's Prayer, and it took me about 20 minutes to get past those first two words, our Father, the blessing of the Father's care. Let me first of all just talk to you about the blessing of that relationship. There's a relationship that's been offered to us, those of us that have been saved. We have the opportunity to call Jehovah God Father. Now, you won't find that anywhere in the Old Testament. Matter of fact, what's remarkable about this is, you know, we read this. We're familiar with it, those of us have been saved. The Lord's Prayer is very well known to even a lot of novice Christians. But you have to understand, when Jesus was teaching his disciples, and they said, teach us to pray, and he began to present this prayer, the idea of calling God, the creator of the universe, Father, I mean, that was revolutionary. This was the first time. I could almost see them as soon as they said, when ye say. I mean, it was okay. They listened to Jesus talk to God and call him Father. But when they asked for him to teach them to pray, the idea that they were also invited into this relationship, this was cutting edge. They had never heard of this before. I mean, folks, they had Mount Sinai, the remembrance of Mount Sinai, and Moses saying, stay back, and God saying, keep them back. And there was always this distance between God, the Creator, and his people, and even his chosen people. There was always certain things that you had to go through and certain titles that you had to use if you're going to pray to God. But all of a sudden now, the invitation to this relationship, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thine. Hey, folks, are you getting this? You get to call God Father. I get to call God Father. The blessing of the relationship. We're going to talk about the blessing of the Father's care, but let's just talk about this first. What a blessing. God has not always been our Father. In John chapter 8, we could read where Jesus said, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. A lot of times folks don't want to understand this, but you know what? He was talking to some unbelievers there, and he said, you know who your father is? Your father's the devil. And by the way, that's who our father was before we got saved. Now you think about a radical difference here. At one point in time, as we are born into this world under the curse of sin, sinners by nature, sinners by choice. And you know who our father was, the controlling influence in our life? It was the devil. But then we have the opportunity to be saved. hold your place there in Matthew. Go over, if you will, to John chapter number 1. And I know these are familiar verses, but it's good to look at them. John chapter 1, all of a sudden, we have an opportunity to be rescued from the devil's family and adopted into God's family. What a blessing that is. What a trade. I mean, you know what? I don't care what kind of trade you've made in your life. You never got a better trade than this. And then the Bible says in John 1 verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, speaking of Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Because we have been born again, we are born into the family of God. God offers us a chance, an opportunity to be adopted into his family. Now, let's go back to 1 John. We were in the Gospel of John. Let's go all the way back to 1 John. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Jude precedes Revelation. 1 John chapter number 3. And I like the way that the Lord had John pin these words. I like that very first word in John, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And you know what? The Holy Spirit of God got a hold of John, and John's writing this by inspiration, and all of a sudden these words pour out of the pen. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Preacher, why do we have this opportunity? Because God loved us. Because God loved us when we were unlovely. Because God loved us when we didn't care a hoot about him. For God so loved the world, loved sinners. Loved us even though we were lost. Loved us even though we didn't seek. Listen, he sought us out. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I want you to just kind of throw your shoulders back this week, and every once in a while tomorrow while you're walking around, just say it out loud. Just say, wow, I'm a son of God. Wow, I'm a child of God. Wow. Wow, I can look up to heaven because of what Jesus did and say, Father. Isn't that amazing? What an opportunity. Folks, if the Father's care didn't come with the title, what a blessing that we can just call him Father. We'll get to the care part in just a minute. I want to show you one more portion of Scripture, and then we'll kind of go back to where we were. But go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, because, you know what, I want this thought to challenge us. Yes, it's a gift. Yes, it's a blessing. But you know what? We ought to want to live up to it. We ought to want to live up to it. You say, preacher, it's a blessing that God offers us this opportunity, this relationship. God allows us to not only call him Father, he's chosen to become our Father. Yes, he has. Now, I want to show you some interesting verses that a lot of times we don't get all the way down to the last verse when we preach through these separation verses, or I like to call them sanctification verses. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14, we hear these things. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I preached on that. We were preaching on through our masculinity series. But be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So then the command here, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now notice the verse number 18. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And remember, folks, the chapter divisions were added later. We should flow very simply into the next verse. Having therefore these promises, the promises just stated, what? The promise that God would become our Father, the promise that we have the opportunity to enter into a relationship as sons and daughters of God. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. Well, we ought to underline that. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, let me give you this thought. As we begin to reflect on this relationship, what we ought to do is we ought to say, God, if you are truly my Father and I'm truly your child, help me to let the world see a family resemblance. A family resemblance. Now, who used to be your father before you got saved? All right, everybody, who used to be your father before you got saved? Now, you need to say it out loud. Who used to be your father? You need to say it so you know it. Okay? Now, that used to be your father. He used to be kin. You're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. God becomes your father. So why in the world do you want to resemble your old father rather than your new father? Oh, really? I just want to come to some Christians and say, what's the deal? What, God's not good enough? What he offered wasn't enough for you? I mean, you want your fire insurance and you want your ticket punched, but then you want to run around and resemble the devil more than you do God? Folks, this matter of holiness, we should not quiet down about this. It's not going to get quiet in this pulpit about it. It's disappeared from a lot. Why in the world should we apologize as preachers of the Word of God for exhorting God's people to resemble the Father? Be ye holy, even as I am. Now, you go down through these separation verses. Now, with that thought in mind, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You say, preacher, why is all of these statements, why are these commands to come out from among them, be separate? What fellowship hath righteousness with unbelievers? You know what he's saying? He's saying, what fellowship hath a child of God with the children of the devil? Why, now that you're saved, would you want to reach back and place yourself back under the control of the one who you were freed from? And so this whole idea that separation should be preached and holiness no longer matters is absolutely insane. Just this relationship alone should encourage us to obey chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, God said, I'll be a father unto you. I want you to be my sons and daughters. I want there to be a family resemblance. I want people to be able to look at you and think of me. I want you to be a reflection of my holiness and my goodness. And so, folks, we ought to work towards that. I mean it. We ought to work towards that. You know what? You get the different families around here and you get them together and you start looking at sons and daughters and moms and dads, and you know what? You start noticing this little resemblance and that little resemblance, and even amongst brothers and sisters. You know, if you look pretty hard, somebody says, well, this is my brother, and sometimes you may not say it, but you're thinking, you know what? They probably didn't even have to tell me that. There's just enough about it. You know, they don't look exactly like, but there's just enough family, and I'll bet that's your daddy, and I'll bet that's your mama. My dad, when he used to work on stuff, he every time he'd get to working on something, he'd stick his tongue out. I working on stuff. And, you know, he just did. And I used to think it was funny until I found myself one day working on something. I thought, what am I doing? I don't know if it's because I saw him do it. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I don't know. There's some genetic thing in my DNA that when it says concentrate, stick your tongue out. I don't know. I'm not smart enough to figure it out. All I know is if somebody asks you, well, why do you do that? I just have to say, because my daddy does, I guess. I guess just because my daddy does. I don't know what else to tell them. You know, somebody will say, why do you go to church on Sunday? Oh, why won't you be involved in this? Oh, why won't you dress this way? I mean, young people, next time you get quizzed about holiness, stop using hiding under the excuse, well, they make us do it the school I go to. You heathen. You heathen. How dare you say something like that? You know what you just did? You just looked over your shoulder and spit in the face of the Father. Why don't you say, because Daddy wants me to? Oh, you mean your parents? No, I mean my Heavenly Father. I want to be holy. I want to have a family resemblance. Okay, I want the holiness of God to be reflected in my life. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Been a great change since I've been born again. Well, we had Gerald and Hanover. We've had this progressive Christmas. I didn't know if it would ever be over. You know, we the family, everything's kind of crazy. And so we'd We'd get this little group together and have Christmas, get this group together and have Christmas. We had the last one on the 2nd of January. The 2nd of January. We're having more Christmas. And so I'm done. I'm done. Even if you bought me a gift and you haven't given it to me yet, take it back. I don't want it. Unless it's cash or a gift card. And then just go ahead and slide it to me on the way out and we'll just call it good. But really, I mean, it's just like, stop, you know. Julie opening her present. Now, if you've been around Gerald very much, you know, he's not going to win like Mr. Personality. I mean, he's a nice guy, but he's just kind of, you know, even-tempered, you know. And if any picture they take as a family, this is a smile to Gerald. I was like, you got to smile. I am. You know, I mean, that's it. So Julie is opening her gifts, and she tears it open, and she pulls out a gift, and she just looks at it. And then she looks up at her body. I'll say, do you like it? She'll go. And we all just start looking at Gerald. She's like, yeah, she's my daughter. You know, throws it to the side, puts it off carefully to the side, opens the next one. So you like it? I mean, just, you know what? She's just family. She's just daddy's girl. I mean, you didn't have to ask. Are you getting this? Isn't that good? Isn't that good? You people that taught in our church, that taught my oldest daughter when she was little, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, you know, little Miss Bossy. And kindergarten, she would take all the kids out at recess. I didn't say the teacher would take them out. She would take them out at recess. And she would assign everybody a job and a position and what game they were going to play. And this is shocking, but guess who's doing it now? Now, Ariana. Ariana shows up to school and decides that every break she's got to tell everybody, you know, just family resemblance. It's just the way it is. And what I'm saying is this, folks, are we children of God or not? Now, why would I want to listen to the devil's music? Why wouldn't I want to listen to the same kind of music my father has? His recommendation, what he likes. Why is this so hard? I got to ask you a question. If you're really struggling with this, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? I can't believe I got that into a message. Who's your daddy? Come on, who's your daddy? Man, that's right. I'm going to get a T-shirt. Wear it. Who's your daddy? Honestly, Christians get mad because I suggest they ought to resemble God. I mean, they just get you know, an aggravated look. Why? Who's your daddy? Okay? Why are you working so hard to resemble the one who is the prince and power of the air? I don't get it. I really don't. At some point in time, you need to check, see if you've been born again. I mean, if this is just a constant aggravation in your life, the idea of separating yourself from the world unto God, you got to check it out. But we have a blessing. Listen, a minute ago we were all excited because God offers to be our father. But when we get to the verse that says, here's what you do to be my sons and daughters, come out from among them. Now you are positionally, but I want you to do it practically. I want people to see it. All of a sudden we get an attitude about it. I don't get this. Folks, listen, every Bible-preaching church in Greene County ought to be preaching separation as strict or stricter than Blessed Hope Baptist Church does. I'm not saying we even got it all right. Well, they're strict. Oh, I don't know. Have we raised to the level of the holiness of God? Then maybe we're not. Maybe there's a lot of areas we let things go. We should say a lot more about. But this whole idea, well, you can't say much about it in this day. We need to say something about it. I mean, he's our father. He's our father. Come out from among them. I'm telling you, young people, come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. You know, if there's something unclean, you should not only watch it, you shouldn't have touched it to put it in the DVD player in the first place. You don't get near that stuff. And so think about that. What a blessing. We haven't even got to the Father's care yet. What a blessing, this relationship. Not only do we have a blessing of being able to call Jehovah God our Father, but we have the blessing that this Father relationship, and this is just goes to the whole next level, and I'm not even going to try to, probably go into it very deeply, but go over real quick to Romans chapter 8. We not only have the blessing that God offers a relationship of Father to us, but we also have the blessing that this Father relationship makes us joint heirs with Jesus Christ. This is amazing to me. I mean, it really is. If you really think about this and let this sink in, what we're going to read here, you ought to just sit back and say, he did what? It's one thing that he allows me to say that he's my that he's my Father, and that I have the opportunity to be his son. And yes, that should be motivation in my life to want to live up to the family name. But notice what else comes with this relationship. Verse 11, Romans chapter 8, verse number 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Say, preacher, well, how do you make the transformation? I mean, listen, okay, you convinced me. I need to be more like the Father. How do I do that? You seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. You begin to be led by the Spirit of God instead of the whims and appetites and lust of the flesh. But notice what he says here in verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Wow, what a verse. Amazing. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The children of God. Did you get that? Ooh, amen. And if children, watch this, then heirs. Heirs of God. Now you see that? Then heirs. Heirs of God. And what? Joint heirs with Christ. Now, okay, if God said that makes you an heir, I'd be going, wow. Then he says, no, heirs of God. Wow. Really? That means what the Father has, some of that he's going to give to me? But he doesn't stop there. If he stopped there, we'd have reasons to shout for the rest of our lives. But then he says, all right, not just heirs, and not just heirs of God, but I'm going to tell you what the deal is here. You get to be joint heirs with Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Something happened. It's pretty special. When I got saved, when I got born again, God took me out of the devil's family and made me one of his children. And then he offers me this relationship. And yes, we're going to see this. He assumes some responsibility, but he also asks of us to make an effort so that the world can see the family resemblance that we have to the Father. And then he says this, you know, Christ, who is the heir of all things, because we're in Christ, guess what? I'm going to make you joint heirs. Joint heirs. Now, let me tell you why. I'm going to try to help some of you right now. That's not near shouting ground yet, and you ought to be. I don't know who the richest man in the world was. I had a guy on the phone today tell me, man, I just need a rich uncle to die and leave me $10 million. He did. I swear, today somebody said that to me. I don't know who the richest man in the world is, but if he died and his single living heir called you and said, tell you what, I want to split everything with you, you'd get happy. You'd get real happy. You'd be calling everybody. You'd be telling everybody. You would, everybody you passed on the street. I mean, some of you would be texting so fast your cell phone starts smoking. You'd be bragging it up. You'd be telling it. Folks, why is it? Well, we're so carnally minded. We are. We're just so carnally minded. Well, you know, we fall into money and we're excited. We get to be joint heirs with Christ. And it's like, oh, really? That's all I get? Yeah. Amen. Joint heirs. Joint heirs with Christ. Are you kidding me? All because of this wonderful relationship with the Father. Now, let's go back to Matthew and chapter number 7. We'll go there, and then we're going to go back to 6 also, but go back to Matthew chapter 7. What an opportunity. What a blessing. What a blessing. Before the night's over, in my heart, I'll get to say to God, Father, Many times today in my heart, sometimes with my lips, I got to say, Father, what a blessing that is. Now, the blessing of the responsibility that the Father assumes for our care. So we have the blessing of the relationship with the Father, and we get the blessing of the responsibility the Father assumes for our care. In Matthew chapter 7, there's just a wonderful little few verse I want to read to you. Verse number 7. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil, and we are, know how to give good gifts unto your children, and we do, how much more shall your Father, man alive, you ought to just under that, your Father, did you get that? Which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him. And so let me say this. The blessing of the responsibility the Father assumes for our care. The Father assumes the heart of a father towards us. He has the heart of a father. And there's not a daddy in here. If you haven't just lost your mind, there's not a daddy in here that if it's in your power to give something good to your children, there's a need that you wouldn't move heaven and earth if you could to do that. I mean it. I mean, that's just us. And we're sinners. We're tainted. I mean, our righteousness is as filthy rags, and yet we care enough about our children to have that kind of a heart. You know what the heart of God is towards his children? It's this. You know what? I want, if it's a good thing, notice it says that give good gifts. Give good gifts. A lot of the things we ask of God wouldn't be good for us. A lot of things we ask of God wouldn't be good for us. And then we want to blame God for not giving us bad gifts. And God's wise enough to know the things that would be good for us and the things that would be bad for us. But God says, are you kidding me? I'm not evil. I'm not sinful. My love's purer than any type of love you can imagine. And you know what? I have a father's heart towards my children. And so what a blessing. So God has a father's heart. And he assumes that towards us. Now back up a chapter, Matthew chapter number 6. We'll just talk down through this. Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 19. The Father assumes not only the heart of a father, but the care of a father towards us. Now let's get down to some sweet promises here. Matthew 6, 19 through 24. I'm not going to jump down to verse 25, and I was tempted to, because there's the little word therefore that prevents me from just starting there. And it would be wrong for me to try to give you a view of God that wouldn't be, you know, completely accurate. The Father assumes care, the care of a father towards us. But folks, let me just say this. The promise of care is preceded by a command to properly invest and to properly prioritize. And let's remember this. Oh, I'll tell you what, things are getting tight and the economy's getting tight, and I'm going to tell you what, I may have to cut back on my giving. The Bible doesn't say lay down, it says lay up. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth doth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is in the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So God says two things here. First of all, he said these therefore promises that I'm going to talk to you about is preceded by the command to properly invest and the command to properly prioritize. What do you mean by prioritize? Properly invest, you lay up treasures for yourself in heaven. Be spending all your time laying up stuff for down on this earth. Moth's going to get it. The government's going to get most of it. Those are the thieves they're talking about, by the way, that break in and steal. I was talking to a guy today, and I said, he's mentioned about he's got to start working pretty soon. He's going to have to get his taxes done. And I said, oh, I wish you hadn't mentioned that. I said, if there's one time during the year that I'm telling you, just absolutely ruins my spirit and ruins my attitude and just about ruins my Christianity, is when I got to stop and do taxes. You know why? Because all I do is fill out forms that allow thieves to break through and steal. Sorry. Now, I'm going to pay them. I'm going to obey the law, render unto Caesar. I know I'm not leading the movement to revolt yet. I'm thinking about it, but I haven't yet. But it just absolutely makes you crazy. And what this country has turned into. And the honest truth is, the average person in this room ought to be living very well. And we could be living very well. And I don't mean extravagant. I'm talking about having the opportunity to give more to missions and give more to God's work. And you know what? A government has just passed laws to financially oppress a nation. And it's just criminal. This whole idea, I don't know what you think you've got schemed, but this whole idea you're going to come to the end of your life and be set, whatever set is. You need to talk to some of these older folks that have worked hard their whole life around here. Are you listening to me? God says, listen, you're trying to work a system that's so corrupt. Why don't you just trust me with it? Please tell me, what better investment could you lay up than investment in heaven? And so then he says, watch your priorities. Because he said, listen, you're going to choose at some point. You're going to serve me or you're going to serve that mammon. You're not going to serve both. And then he says again, as far as priorities in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall, you know, he's saying, listen, if you will properly invest in spiritual things, in heavenly things, and you'll keep your priorities straight, he says, then, therefore, verse 25, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Now, there's several things. I'll just give them to you. Boom, boom. Here we go. Listen, what does God offer in return to the Christian that says, I'm going to properly invest, and I'm going to see that my investment is in heavenly things, and I'm going to properly prioritize. I'm not going to live. I'm going to spend my life chasing Almighty Buck. I'm going to spend my life seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What kind of promises are there in return? In return, the Father offers us the promise of peace. Oh, I'll tell you, peace of mind. Notice verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, take no thought. Now, that little phrase, take no thought, you know what that means? Don't worry. Stop worrying. Now, if you're not going to properly invest, then worry. If you're not going to set right priorities, then worry. But if you'll properly invest and set right priorities, he said, all right, stop worrying. Gotcha. I'm your Father. I'm going to care for you. Take no thought for your life. That's what he says. How about verse 27? Which of you by taking thought? How about verse 28? Why take you thought? He said, listen, stop worrying. You don't have to worry. If you'll obey verses 19 through 24, you don't have to worry. I'm your daddy. I'm your Father. I'm Abba. I'll take care of you. Okay? Trust me. Trust me. In return, the Father offers us promises of peace. Verse 31, that wherefore take no thought. Stop worrying. You don't have to worry anymore. I've got it taken care of. Verse 34, that take therefore no thought. You know what, folks? One of the great blessings, one of the great things that God gives us in response to simple obedience in this area is that, you know what, we don't have to worry. You know, you start going down that worry road and all of a sudden you stop and say, wait a minute, God told me to take no thought. Why am I worried? I'm properly investing. I've got my priorities right, the kingdom of God, his righteousness. Those are priority one in my life. I'm not going to worry about the rest of it. God's going to take care of me. So in return, he offers us the promise of peace. He then offers in this portion of Scripture examples of nature. I like that. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? I promise you this is true. I don't know when the coldest of the coldest days, I'm kind of hoping it's already over, will come this winter. But I'll tell you what, if you'll walk outside and look around, you know what you're going to find? Sparrows that are being taken care of by the Father. Isn't that amazing? You think, you go down one of these, you know, single-digit mornings, little wind chill down in the negative single digits, and you take a little handful of bird feed and throw it out. You don't think there's a living thing out there. You take a little handful of bird feed and you walk back in about 10 minutes later, look out the window, and you know what you see? You see them birds there. And you think, how in the world? How in the world? Okay, they weren't alive just because I did that. They were alive. And you know what? We ought to see that and say, looky there. God takes care of them. He's going to take care of me. And then he gives another nature example in verse 28. But why take ye thought for raiment. Consider the lilies of the field. They grow, they toil not. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, he reminds us, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And so he gives us some things to hold on to, some great promises, the promise of peace, the examples of nature. He reminds us of our exalted place. In verse 26, he says at the end of the verse, are you not much better than they? Our exalted place. How about verse 30? We just read that. He says, shall he not much more clothe you? In other words, listen, if he'll take care of a sparrow and he'll take care of grass, won't he take care of his children? Now, folks, I've got children. And you know what? When they were growing up, I wanted to take care of them. You know what I did with the grass? Mowed it. Okay? You know what I did with the sparrows when they landed in the trees and decorated my car? I'm not going to tell you, but there was loud noises and dead birds. Okay? But when it came to my children, you know what? I made sure they got taken care of. God said, you know what? I take care of the grass and I take care of the sparrows. Why in the world would you think that I'm not going to take care of you? Are ye not much better than them? He says that. And so so there's the promise, and are reminded of our exalted, our place. And then in return, God the Father offers us the promise of all these things. Now, let's look at that verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. Now, let's just identify what these things are. It's the things he's been talking about. Let's get this, Americans, okay? Well, half of America is holding a grudge against God because we don't get our wants. You will never open this Bible and show me any place where God promised to provide your wants. But you can go to many places and say, God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. All these things he was talking about, he's talking about the food that he was feeding the sparrows and the clothing, the raiment, the protection, the covering, the shelter that he provides. Folks, you know what? That's our needs. That's our needs. If you ate today, had enough nourishment to sustain life, and you had enough protection against the elements to live through the day, do you get this? If that's all we had, we should be thankful to God because he fulfilled his promise to us. If we would learn a new level in 2012 of contentment, how do you know, preacher, whether I'm serving God or mammon? This may be the test case, what we're talking about right now. If you can live your life with God providing your needs and be content and be happy in that and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and lay up treasures in heaven, then you know what? You're serving the Lord. If you're in a perpetual state of discontent because somebody just drove up and they either are wearing something or driving something or having something that you don't have, and now you're aggravated about it, you're not serving God. You're not serving God. God offers us the promise of all these things, a promise to provide our needs. Our Father provides our needs. Thank God I'm in my Father's care. Now, preacher, give us just some closing thoughts. Here they are. Let's work hard this year to honor God by resembling him in holiness. Let's make sure there's a family resemblance. Let's determine this year to properly invest and properly prioritize our lives so that God in heaven always comes first. Let's spend less time worrying and more time thanking God for his promise of divine care. Let's seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and trust God to take care of our needs. That'd be a good way to live 2012. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness, your generosity to us. And Lord, even though there is no promise in the Bible past our needs, Lord, you are a father that oftentimes spoil his children, and Lord, we're thankful for that. Lord, just don't let us get too spoiled. Help us learn to be thankful, dear God, for the simplicities of life and the basic cares of life, and understand that we have a heavenly Father. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to want to live up to that, to want to resemble a Father that's in heaven, a holy God. May we check the things, Lord, in our life. Help us not to form unequal yokes. Help us not to start hanging back up and yoking ourselves back up with the old crowd and the old ways. the way the world lives. Dear God, may we honor you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, I pray.